ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 357th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to title this episode, surprisingly, A Battle for First Place with the Bucks. That's who the Falcons are playing. They're 2-2 after two defensive stands in the last two games against Seattle and the Cleveland Browns, and they're all set to battle the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are also 2-2 for the top spot in the NFC South after five games. You don't get a trophy for that, but the guys are excited about it because the first thing you want to do is be relevant in the division. Jake Matthews pointed that out yesterday. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from Coach Arthur Smith and Coach Todd Bowles today here on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Yes, the major news out of Flowery Branch yesterday, running back Cordarrelle Patterson, who went into the game last week as the number three rusher in the National Football League, is headed to IR with a knee surgery. He had a heavily taped left knee, and they kept listing it as resting knee, questionable. He played, and then after the game, he had surgery on the knee and will be out for the next four games. His first possible return game would be the San Diego Chargers on November the 6th. So let's get right to it here. We'll hear from Arthur Smith on Cordarrelle Patterson going on IR.
Cordarrelle Patterson, we'll put him on IR to return. He had a minor procedure this morning that will help him long term. If it was something that I thought that was going to be significant long term, I'd go into more specifics, but he will go on IR with the plan for him to return.
Well, there it is. Cordarrelle was, I don't know, we can't say went down in the game. We don't know when he got hurt, but I think he did come back and had 1 6-yard run. But the young kids took over when he was out of there in that 10-play, 75-yard drive. Caleb Huntley, he's technically a rookie, second-year guy, was on the practice squad all of last year. And Tyler Algier, who is a rookie, took over at running back. And even Avery Williams, the converted cornerback, slipped in there for a 21-yard run. So based on what they did in Cleveland, the Falcons have to feel pretty comfortable with the backups. But here's what Coach Smith said on how long Patterson could be out.
It's a minimum 4 weeks, and so we'll see what goes after that, and we'll bump Caleb Huntley up to the active.
Yeah, like we didn't see him, one specific play or anything, or if he was injured during the game, went back in and re-injured him. So, we wanted to get some specifics from Coach Smith on that. So we asked on whether Patterson was re-injured in the game.
Again, I'm not the doctor, but, you're trying to weigh all that, and nothing that he did that put him at any further risk. It's just you got to assess, well, is it something that you want to have week to week, and, how's it going to go? And we got a great medical team, and CP felt, I don't hate to talk for him, but obviously he wouldn't have played if that were the case, Mike, and it's something that we feel will help him, more importantly, in the long run, and then help the team.
And, this is the whole dance we do with the coaches. They try to make the coach the single voice of the team. In the old days, we just went to the trainer and the doctors and got the medicals. Hey, he tore his meniscus. He's going to be out a couple weeks. We might try to get him back in here in 3 or 4 weeks. And you had a clear picture. You had the doctors talking medical information, whereas, now you got the coach saying, hey, I'm not a doctor. It's like, yeah, but you talk to him. Since we can't talk to him anymore, so we need some better information. So, we wanted to know also if he re-aggravated his injury during Sunday's game, because we don't know when he got injured.
I wouldn't necessarily call it that, but again, I think, you know, to be where he wants to be at his maximum effectiveness, that he had a little minor procedure today, and I would call it minor every time you get something. I don't want to make light of that, but he had a procedure done, and we expect him back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm going to request the doctor so they can turn it down for the 367th time. Because that's, you know, this is a pretty big injury. Leading running back in the league. And we don't know when he was hurt. We got a procedure. Pretty sure. I don't know if it wasn't major ligament damage. He'd be gone for the year. So, you know, you don't want to speculate on meniscus because that would be a shave and a quick return, which is what they're talking about. But, you know, we're just going to call it a knee for now. And we don't get those specifics anymore. But don't want to be Debbie Downer here on the injury reporting, how it goes down in the 2020s. As opposed to how it used to go down in the 90s, but we'll keep it moving. But, you know, there was a point in the game where Coach Smith gave the team the offense to Dave Ragone, and he wanted to, the offensive coordinator. He said he likes the coordinators on the sideline because that allows him to stay on the game. He doesn't have to go back and forth. So he trusts Ragone, and you know, we wanted to know if there was anything that motivated Dave Ragone to get the offense fired up in the second half.
Call the offense up. That's what I said on the headset. I got a lot of faith in Dave, and that's the good thing about having Dave down there and Dean, which I've been way more comfortable with this year, being able to talk to him. It's one thing on the headset when they're upstairs, but I like that because then it allows me, I don't have to turn my back as much to the game. It allows me, in my opinion, to be a better head coach. So it just goes like this. Actually, it's on the left side. Dave, get the offense together and get them going. And Dave's done a terrific job with that. And that's, you know, that's why I got a lot of faith in our staff.
Yep. And we'll learn more about that. You know, I don't know when it was, you know, I think it was right before the 10 play, 75 yard drive. It's like, hey, we got to get going here. And they did. They punched it in and came up big with the scores, so forth. And so he credited Dave Ragone with that. But it is a different setup. You know, some coordinators like being up in the booth. Some like being downstairs. But here is Arthur Smith on how much that decision to have the offensive and defensive coordinators upstairs or downstairs was him versus them.
You know, obviously I'm not going to ask somebody to do it if they didn't want to, you know, with Dean calling it down there. But he'd done it both ways. He called it down in Baltimore and New England. And what do you think is best for the team? And I like having Dave down there again because it allows me to not have to turn my back as much. And I can communicate to Dave, whether we're talking about players, coaches, and he can do a great job coordinating behind me. That's what he is, the coordinator. And we have such a really good working relationship, and I think Dave's doing a terrific job. But it does. It's nice where I don't feel like, good, I'd be the head coach. When Dave, you can say things, and then when Dave does it, he's got his own style to it. It's impactful. It's important.
All right, let's move on to Tampa Bay's offense. Like I said, they're 2-2 on the season. They open with a 19-3 win at the Dallas Cowboys. That was that Thursday night, I believe. Thursday night tilt. Then they won at New Orleans 20-20 on September the 18th. And then they've dropped their last two, 14-12, to the Green Bay Packers on September the 25th, and then on October the 2nd, they lost 41-31 to the Kansas City Chiefs, and the game wasn't that close. They got some scores late to make it look a little bit closer than it was. I want to also go to their starting lineup here. We got some familiar names starting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The starting offense features Chris Godwin, wide receiver Julio Jones, and wide receiver Mike Evans, a three-receiver formation, 11 personnel. It's what they opened up with in Kansas City, or within the Kansas City game, which was in Tampa. The running back is Leonard Fournette, Tom Brady at quarterback. And then the line is Donovan Smith, Gonkey, Hainsey at center, Shaq Mason, the former Georgia Tech standout, and Tristan Wirfs at right tackle. And tight end is Otten, O-T-T-O-N. That's your starting lineup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their last outing. That was the lineup. And Julio, he played 18 snaps in that game, 2 targets, 1 catch for 7. He was coming off a knee. He's only played 2 games this year with 4 catches, 76 yards, and 0 touchdowns for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his new team. I think he got about $6 million to go try and win a championship with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's look at their season stats thus far. Fournette's the leading rusher with 60 carries for 224 yards. Rashad White is the second leading rusher with 11 carries for 21 yards and 1 touchdown. Okay, receiving, another familiar name, Russell Gage. Gage is the top receiver for them with 21 catches for 152 yards and 1 touchdown. Mike Evans is the leader in yards. He's got 16 catches for 235. 14.7 average and 3 touchdowns. That'll be one of the matchups to watch. Michael Evans and AJ Terrell. And Fournette has caught the ball out of the backfield for them also with 16 catches for 111 yards and 1 touchdown. Cameron Brait didn't start, but he's their tight end of choice in the pass game. Has 11 catches for 100 yards, 9.1 per catch. No touchdowns there. No touchdowns for him. Now let's go to Mr. Brady's stats here thus far. You know, lots going. You're gonna hear a lot about this week about Tom Brady's 10-0 against the Falcons. They bring up the 28-3, and hey, but this might be their best chance to beat them in a while. So this defense. We'll get to the Bucs defense. They lost a couple people over there, and one's hurt. That's gonna maybe make this a more even game than the folks have it at. I think the Bucs opened at 8 points. But you'll see the stat, it was like Otto Graham was 12-0 against somebody. Brady's 10-0 against somebody. But I saw that on one of those Bleacher Report tweets. I should have kept it. Brady is 106 for 155 this season. For 1,058 yards. So we're 4 games in. So you could just multiply by 4 and see that he's on pace for another 4,000-yard passing season. He's completed 68.4% of his passes for 6 touchdowns and 1 interception. And he has a passer rating of 97.7. So those are the key weapons for the Bucs offense. Brady, Fournette, he moves the ball around to about 5 different guys. They'll be mad because they got blown out by Kansas City. And, it'll be a tough go down there on Sunday for the Falcons. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. This is episode 357. We're going to hear about the Bucs defense here and some of the key matchups that the Falcons will face. But, let's start off with hearing from Jake Matthews on Cordarrelle Patterson going on injured reserve.
That's tough to hear. He's been one of the guys on our offense that's really helped get everything going and started, and he's a great teammate and a guy you can count on, and just brings an attitude and an energy that I think has, you know, helped us do what we've done so far this season. So hopefully he recovers quickly and, you know, he'll be missed, that's for sure.
All right, there is Jake Matthews. You know, certainly Cordarrelle is going to be missed. But, you know, the young guys did pretty good, so we'll see if they can keep it going. We were concerned about that, so we asked Jake, will it take a team effort, you know, to fill the void of Patterson?
I think we all should have an attitude like he does. He's relentless. He brings it. And that, you know, every single play. And that's something you need to do to be able to run the ball. And, you know, we're going to have to, you know, pick up on that with him not being in there. And, you know, it takes, especially around the football, it takes 11 guys. So I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot on us as a group up front to continue to run the ball well. But we got a lot of other really good guys who can carry the ball as well. So I think we kind of showed that this week. So we just got to continue improving on that. And it's going to be a good challenge this week. But, you know, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's going to be interesting to see if the, you know, you knew coming into the season who the weapons were. Cordarrelle Patterson, Kyle Pitt. All right. And so they've, you know, that's fine. That's what the Falcons have been doing. And Drake London has been a pleasant surprise. You didn't know how much to expect from Drake London. So, you know, going into these games here, it's like, okay, they got Patterson, better cover Pitts. London's going to do some damage. So now, you know, Alameda Zacchaeus, you know, stepped up, made a play. Parker Hesse had a 22-yard game. So, you know, guys are starting to step forward. But to lose such a major cog in the offensive operation, you know, it's got to change things. It's got to change, you know, how the Falcons are going to approach it. So we wanted to know from Jake whether or not the offense changes with CP out.
You know, I think, I don't know if it changes anything necessarily. We still have the same mindset of what we want to do, but he's a really, really good player. And he definitely has been, like I was saying earlier, setting the tone for us offensively with the way he runs the ball. So he's going to be missed for sure. And, you know, I hope he has speedy recovery and gets back quick. But, you know, we gotta kind of pick it up. And I think that puts more on us as an offensive line to, you know, help propel the offense, kind of like we had our opportunity this week. So we got to keep continuing to do that.
All right, no question about it. Hey, this is a real tough stretch the Falcons are getting ready to go into. You know, we used to break the season up in quarters. I'm still going to do it, and then we'll just have the quarters plus one since we got the 17 game this year. So, you know, we didn't know a lot about this team going in the first quarter. Now we know it's a gritty, tough little team that wants to fight all day. They play 4-1 score games, and they ran the ball on people. And, you know, when you run the ball, when the other team knows you run the ball, that travels. That puts you in a great situation. And quite frankly, they got to run the ball because the quarterback, Marcus Mariota, 7-19, one sack, 20 dropbacks last game. They're you know, heavy run team, 55.5% of the plays are run. So they got to run the ball. And this quarter here is going to be really, really tough. We'll know even more about this team if they can somehow, you know, pull off some wins here in this next quarter where they're going to Tampa. San Francisco's coming here the following week. Then they're going to Cincinnati and then hosting Carolina. So y'all saw San Francisco last night get after Stafford and the Rams. Sacked them about 5 or 6 times. That was just, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Debo Samuel and the Bosa kid and see what the Falcons do with those guys. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, he wasn't even supposed to be there. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about them next week. So, but yeah, Tampa, you know, they're mad, 2-2. San Francisco's looking pretty special right now early on. Bengals are finding their way. They thought they fixed the offensive line. They didn't. And then Carolina's 1-3, and Baker's throwing the ball to everybody. So, you know, that was to be expected. So the next 4 games are going to be pretty interesting too. Now, if you could figure out how to get 2 of those 3, You know, and you got to get the Carolina game too. So that would make you two of those. You get those. You get two, three. So you go 3-1 in this quarter. Then you're sitting. They're sitting 5-3 at the halfway point, which nobody predicted. So I mean, you got to figure out how to beat Tampa Bay or you know San Francisco and Cincinnati, and you should be favored to beat Carolina. But that's where we're at here. You know, in the second quarter of the season, let's look at the Bucks defense. You know, they're reeling right now. I was reading some of the copy out of Tampa today, and they were not happy that the Chiefs were able to run the ball on them at all. And they got some nice stats on the run defenses under Todd Bowles. And let me just get to the Chiefs numbers real quick here. They ran the ball 37 times for 198. Pacheco and Clyde Edwards-Helaire did most of the damage. Edwards-Helaire, the former LSU back, was 19 for 92. And Pacheco, he was a sensation there. Rutgers, I believe, 11 for 63. He's a guy that everybody in Kansas City knows and the league doesn't know yet. He still got Jerick McKinney on the team, too, former Loco. And former Georgia Southern guy. So the starting defense, couple names are missing that I'm pointing out off the rip here. Jason Pierre-Paul's not there. Namakunsu is not there. Okay, so the big front they had, you know, was, you know, it's not what it used to be. Akeem Hicks was brought in, but he's missed the last two games. Hasn't been on IR or anything, but Akeem Hicks makes this front a lot tougher next to Vita Vea. But Nunez Rodgers is in there next to Vita. You got Shaquille Barrett and Joe Tryon as the outside linebackers. Look like they opened in a 4-2-5 nickel against Kansas City with all their wide receivers. And then Devin White and Levante David were the inside linebackers. You had Jamal Dean at corner with Carlton Davis. And then they started three safeties, so that's a big nickel. So they tried to deal with Travis Kelce in a big nickel. With Winfield, Mike Edwards, and Logan Ryan, the veteran of 10 years, been around the league, and so forth. And there are also some names on the defense that we know. Keanu Neal played 46 snaps in this game, and 7 on special teams. They list him as a linebacker, but I thought, you know, I'll have to find out before Sunday if he's really playing linebacker or safety. You know, he played linebacker in Dallas. They were supposed to be moving him back to safety here. But against this, yeah, they list him safety in the book and linebacker in the playtime chart. And I was under the understanding that he went back to safety. So that's where we'll be looking for him at on Sunday. Now, the Bucs do have 14 sacks. They do get after the quarterback. They used to like getting after Matt Ryan. Devin White leads with 3. Nelson has 2. Barrett's 2. Vita Vea 1. Carl Nassif 1. Levante David 1. Hall 1. Edwards 1. Winfield 1. Tryon 0.05. So they got 14 sacks to 7 for the opposition. Jake Camarda is the punter. Y'all know who that is. Former UGA guy. Jamal leads them in interceptions with 2. Darden's their top punt returner. And Rashard White is the top kickoff returner. 3 for 71, a long of 28. So those are, you know, the big issue with the Bucks. Defensive front, let me go back to their starting lineup. That's been a problem. They've whooped the Falcons up for the last few years. You know, you couldn't run on them. You couldn't pass protect. White was coming off the edge. It was just a bad matchup. But last year in the second meeting, that is when Arthur Smith saw a breakthrough. I didn't see it in that game. That's where he saw the line handling the Bucks a little bit better than they had been in the past. So that let him know that, you know, he could stay with some of these guys when everybody was thinking it was time to move on from some of the players and so forth. So that's going to be where the Falcons got to win at. Everybody knows now they got to run the ball. The Bucs are upset because they gave up 189 yards rushing last week. So they're going to want to come out and show they can stop the run. And so that's where this game's going to go. The Falcons, you know, they just can't let Brady zip up and down the field. You know, their timing looks a little bit off. They're not in, you know, peak season form, you know. And so it's not like, hey, they're the Tampa Bay Bucs that were going to steamroll everybody. It just hasn't been the case. It just hasn't been the case early in this season. Hey, so, you know, that's the Bucs. You know, it's going to be a, you know, the Falcons improving defense. Hey, can you handle Brady? Can you get after Brady? And can you, you know, handle his checkdowns? He likes to go to Godwin and now Gage. Okay, and then you got to be ready if Julio Jones or Scotty Miller goes over the top. And then in tight spaces, he likes Cameron Brake. He's been leaning on Mike Evans a lot. So, you know, he's got weapons. He's Tom Brady. You know the drill. Try to get after him, get him off his spot. Don't let him zip up and down the field. Make him earn everything. You know, the Falcons have been doing a great bend but not break thing. And I'm still trying to figure out how Cleveland only got one field goal after getting to the one and the two. I mean, everybody's getting cute now. I mean, line up, run the ball. It's 1 yard. Knock, block everybody. You know, they tried to. Richie Grant came in and knocked Chubb back 2 yards when they were on the 2 yard line, but I wouldn't have ran no slow development play where he got a running start and could come back and get you. So that's where we at. You know, the Falcons got to do that bend but not break thing. Don't let them score. Keep them down the field goals. And then somehow mash them in the run game and hit some timely passes, you know, from Marcus Mariota's. You know, as advertised, he had some issues with interceptions and so forth. But they found a way to play and found a way to win two games. And, you know, yeah, and you know, his he shined. You know, bobbled the ball, threw some interceptions, but that one play at the end where they needed to get down the field goal range, he's scrambling to his left, stops. I don't think he flips his hip all the way. But he gets that ball out to Zacchaeus some kind of way, and Zacchaeus gets upfield for 42 yards. So he's going to make those plays, you know, and he's going to make some frustrating plays. So at least you know what you're dealing with now at the quarterback position, 4 games into it. And I don't know when they're going to go to Ridder. I don't know when you put packages in for him. Now you're competitive. You're playing for first place. And you got to fight with the dogs that got you there. So I'm thinking that's going to be the mindset moving forward. And then, you know, later on they'll get to, you know, get Desmond ready to go in some meaningful action. So with that, let's go ahead and close out with hearing from Coach Todd Bowles of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coach Bowles got the job this year after Bruce Arians resigned. Coach Todd was head coach up in the Jets up there, did about as credible a job as you could do with that franchise and the revolving door they have in their front office. Coach Bowles started his coaching career at Morehouse College on Doug Williams' staff back in the day. And so let's hear from Coach Bowles on he played at Temple for Bruce Arians with Keith Armstrong and those guys and got into coaching through Doug Williams when he was head coach at Morehouse. So here's Coach Bowles on the chemistry between Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Tom Brady.
We felt like we found something in the passing game with those guys back. Obviously, the chemistry was there. And when you got that kind of firepower, you want to use it. So, you know, it's not about being balanced. It's about scoring enough points to win the ball game. I thought they did a decent job in the passing game last night.
Yep. And let's hear from Coach Bowles on the Atlanta Falcons.
I think they've done a great job. Their run schemes are outstanding, probably one of the tops in the league. Their defense is playing very well. They do a good job keeping you off balance. Mariota does a good job of running the offense. They have a lot of pieces to use. Obviously, the tight end is great. They got a first-round receiver. They got a lot of pieces, and their offensive line is very tough. So they've been running the ball on everybody. And considering how we played Sunday, it's going to be a tough task.
Yeah, he's not happy about that 189 yards. No question about it. Just before we get out, I want to go over some of the names on the Tampa defense because some of the backups are going to be playing in here. You know, Akeem Hicks, if he doesn't go, it's Raheem Nunez Roches who started for him against the Chiefs, and that's who you'll see in there. Depending on the formation, how they open, William Golston will be the other end. Joe Tryon, Penn State kid, is an outside linebacker for him. Defensive end, outside linebacker, depending if they go 3-4 or 4-2-5 for the Falcons. They'll probably go 3-4 base for the Falcons because they're expecting them to run. Carl Nassif is his backup. Devin White and Levante David, KJ Britt, and Ukunali Fukasa, or the backups at inside linebacker, along with Kenny Young. Of course, Shaquille Barrett and Anthony Nelson, they're getting the pass rush guys. Corners, Jamal Dean, Carlton Davis, backed up by Sean Murphy Bunting and Zion McCullough. And D. Delaney is the backup corners here, according to their depth chart. So the safeties, yeah, so the Antoine Wingfield Jr., you know him, Logan Ryan, and Mike Edwards. And Edwards is backed up by Keanu Neal. So it's interesting that they when they started three safeties, Keanu wasn't one of them. So that was interesting. So Jake, Jake's the Georgia guy. Fourth round pick, 133rd overall. So, yeah, Jake is the punter for them. Let's go and look at his stats real quick. 18, 44.6, 41 net, one touchback, seven inside the 20. So Jake's off to a great start to his career down there with Tampa Bay. Jake is handling the punting, the kickoffs, the holding. And Ryan Succop remains the place kicker. Your long snapper is Zach Treiner. Punt returners, Darden and Rashard White. So there you go. Just wanted to make sure we had all those names. Julio is Mike Evans' backup, by the way, but they might start them all together here. So there we go. I'm going to wrap up here with the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. It's a battle for first place in the NFC South between the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 1 p.m. on Sunday at Raymond James Stadium. So tune in here. We're going to have the mailbag rolling after the game on Sunday. Feel free to send us your questions on Twitter. But we're off to an interesting start of the season. The Falcons 2-2. Getting ready to head into the second quarter of the season against Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Carolina. We'll see if some more surprises. And maybe we'll be able to answer your question. When is Desmond Ridder going to play one day? But for now, you got a first-place team getting ready to go play the GOAT. Tom Brady in his house, and he's not happy. So that would be a great opportunity for you to go try and take it to him. So we'll see how the Falcons do on Sunday. When they face Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So with that, we're going to thank you for listening to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Take care and have a great rest of your week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.